Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says this, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeying to a far country, and there wasted," it should say, "his father's possessions."
Yeah.
Because he didn't work an honest day his entire life. Said he wasted his possessions with ratchet living.
Yeah.
It says prodigal, but prodigal in the Greek is the word ratchet, which that's not true. 14. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in." Have you ever noticed when it comes to finances, problems don't happen when you have money?
Right.
They don't come the beginning of the month, they come at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Tires tend not to blow when you have an extra $300 and you don't know what to do with. They usually tend to blow when you don't even have the $300 and now the tire's gone. It says, "After he spent everything, then the famine came, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Father God, we're grateful, God, that you are the everlasting. Which means where we stop, God, you're just getting started. God, we pray even now in this moment that you'd speak to us. God, transform our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five two people. Tell somebody, "I have a really good father." Come on, tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody, "I have a really, really good father." We're starting a brand new series today, and if you're new to Destiny Harvest, the way that it works is I'll write about a 3 to 4 hour message. But we took a little survey and we found out that nobody wants to hear me preach for 3 to 4 hours straight. So what I did is I took that 1 3-hour message and I broke it up into 4 weeks, and everybody said, "Whew, I can deal with that." So this series over these next 4 weeks is going to be one complete thought, but just part one, part two, part three, and part four. So I encourage you not to miss a week. The name of the series is "If I Had $1 Million." Just do me a favor. You don't have to do it out loud, but kind of just in your mind, or maybe even write it down. Finish that sentence for me. If I had $1 million, I would... pay off Sally Mae, buy that house, buy a car. "Oh, Pastor, I'd tithe, I'd give." I know you're so spiritual, but what else would you do? You may be saying, "Oh, I don't even, it's not a really big deal. It's not about money and all. I get it. I'm just saying if." "Well, I actually already have $1 million. I'm fine." I know. But if your accountant called you up and said, "Hey, I just saved you $1 million in taxes," you'd be shouting in here like, just a question, what would you do if you came into $1 million? We're going to talk over the next few weeks about finances. But before I jump into that, I just want to kind of call out the elephant in the room. There's something about church that as soon as a pastor mentions money, people start clutching their wallet and clutching their purse. And oh man, what's he about to do? The pastor's trying to get my money. Now, I have a joke and then I'll be serious in a second, but I think my joke's really funny.
I was preparing for this series, and I know that as soon as a pastor says finances or money, people are going to get all comfortable. And I began to think about 2 months ago, we did a series on marriage. And when I had announced that we were getting ready to preach a series on marriage, nobody reached over and grabbed their husband and was like, oh no, I think the pastor wants my husband. Why do you say husband? Because if I said wife, I might get punched after church. So I figured, let me stay safe. You didn't grab your husband. Oh, the pastor wants my husband. No. But for some reason, when it comes to finances, it's like, I don't know. Listen to me. You may be new to this church. You may have just been coming for a while, so you may not be familiar with me. But let me just share something with you that you're going to see over time. My vocation is not just to be a pastor. Pastor is actually my spiritual gift. It's who God's called me to be. It's who he's made me to be. And this is what that means, that my heart burns to see people move from where they are to where God has for them next in every single area of their lives. It is not just good enough for me that you get into heaven. That is not my goal here at Destiny Harvest Church. That is base one. Somebody says base one. My goal is that when you get to heaven, you can stand confidently before God and say, I have maximized every single opportunity and gift that you have given me. I've made the most out of my children. I've made the most out of my marriage. I've made the most out of my faith, after my career, out of my finances. I have worked every area of my life that you've given me. Somebody say amen like it's not winter outside. It breaks my heart, and even this area of finances, when I see people struggling and suffering because they don't either have enough or don't have godly wisdom on how to manage what they have. I'll talk to a young married couple that desires to have children, but because of the weight of debt that they're under, they actually have to adjust their family plans because of financial reasons. It shouldn't be that way. Or some older person who says, man, I really want to retire and move to where my grandkids are and spend time with them, but I can't because I don't know how I'm going to survive or move forward. Or maybe someone who's reached every financial goal that you've ever had in your life, and after you've reached it, you're still empty. And you're just like, I don't know what this is for or where it's for. Listen to me. God has wisdom in his word for every single area of our lives, including our finances. For some reason, God has just given me a passion for building wealth and for generosity. I was preparing for this series and kind of just thinking just about kind of my financial journey, and I was laughing because I started working even before it was legal. I remember back, I was about 12 years old, and I went to my parents and said, hey, I don't want to shop at Payless anymore. I don't want some Outbacks. I want some real Tims. Mom, I'm getting laughed at. I need some help. And she said, you want some real shoes? Great. What you need is a real job. Figure it out. So I said, okay. So I went and I started flipping baseball cards. I would go and buy baseball cards from people who didn't know how much they were worth. And I'd go sell them back at a slight markup. And I realized that wasn't going to get me anywhere far. So my dad at the time, he owned his own medical courier company. They would ship medical samples literally all over the country. And they actually had these boxes that they would ship the medical samples to keep them from getting destroyed in transit and all that kind of stuff. And my dad would fold these boxes and all that. So I came to my dad with a proposition. I said, you don't like folding all these boxes. You're getting blisters and calluses and all this other kind of stuff. Allow me to relieve you of the problem of folding these boxes for a nominal fee of 50 cents per box. After a little bit of negotiation, I decided to take 10 cents per box. And I started my box folding business. If you had come into my house when I was 12 or 13 in my room, you would have seen boxes and boxes and boxes folding. You'd say, dude, your room is dirty. I said, no, that's money. It's just kind of just how I was raised, how I've been. I worked at a summer camp when I was a teenager, saved every single penny, and purchased my first car cash. Let me tell you something. When you're 16 and you're dropping cash on the counter, you feel like a boss. I walked in there, I was like, boom! Give me the rusty one. I didn't say it was a lot of cash. I just said it was cash. 16 paid cash for my own car. 18, I gave the car away to a family that was in need because God told me to. I've discovered that if I apply God's word to my life in every single area, including my finances, that I will see his promises come to pass. And here's something that you really need to understand. I'm not special because I'm the pastor. The Bible says that God is no respecters of persons. Which means whether you have been a follower of Christ for 60 seconds, you just got saved in that song, or you've been a follower of Christ for 60 years, when you apply biblical principles to your life, you get God results in your life. Now, I will say, I would be naive to think that skepticism in church when it comes to money is not valid. How many people know there's a lot of foolishness going on when it comes to churches and finances? That's why as a church, it is our passion to be an organization that is filled with not only integrity, but also transparency. Our church's finances are actually, our bookkeeping and accounting is done by a third-party organization. We have an accounting firm outside of the church that manages all of the finances. They send us a monthly report and an annual report that's submitted to a board of elders within Destiny Harvest Church. That board of elders then takes that financial report and releases an annual report to the church every single year. So you can go on destinyharvest.tv right now, click on the link that says give, and on the bottom of it, it's going to say annual report, and you can see where every single penny that was received by Destiny Harvest in 2016, where it went. Somebody say, I like that. One of my overseers, Pastor Carlos, he would always say, trust, but verify. I trust you. Can I see? I don't trust you, just can I see? My salary is set by a committee of elders internally and externally, and they take a national survey of what pastors are paid with comparable sized churches and incomes and all that other kind of stuff, take into account the area of our country that we live, and they set it at the beginning of every year, and it's under contract. This is what that means. When the tithes and offerings go up, my salary does not go up. When tithes and offerings go down, hopefully... That's a joke. You can laugh there. Tough crowd. What's all this, Pastor? This is just to say our goal is that you can confidently say, I'm proud to go to that church. I trust the integrity of that house. And I'll tell you this, while we do this for you, it's not really for you. I'm more afraid of God than I am of you. And I want to be able to stand before God every single morning and say, we have maximized everything that you've given us for the advancing of your kingdom. Somebody say, amen. Now, I will say this. If you're one of those few people that say, hey, I just want my pastor to be poor and broke so that God can keep him humble. I mean, just humble before the Lord. This may not be the church for you. I ain't sign up for that. I grew up for over 20 years watching my father pastor a church and run his own company on the side, and it kind of just got in me. I can't remember from the day it was legal for me to work, me only working one job. I remember when I was in college, I was taking 21 credits and working two different jobs at the time. I got out of school, got my big boy job, you know, that first job that's actually you pay taxes and you don't get anything back. And I did that for 6 months and I got bored, so I picked up another part-time job. Even now, as I'm working at Destiny Harvest, there's so many other things that we have going on the side, rental properties and other things. And I was kind of, real estate was just my passion until I ran into a guy named Dame Ramsey. And now I'm trying to get things in order because apparently there's baby steps. Shout out to Connect Groups. But I am just letting you know that if you apply God's wisdom, yeah, to this area of your life, there are some guarantees that he's made. The first thing is this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says this, you will be made, That's not me, it's the Bible. It says you will be made, come on, shout back at me like you're awake and not uncomfortable. Rich. You will be made rich. In what? Everywhere. You say, Pastor, that's talking about joy. You're going to be rich in joy. Yep, you will be. You're going to be rich in health. Yes, that's included. But included in every way is every way. Why? So that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Listen to me. There's nothing more selfish than to say, I don't need anymore. I'm fine. I don't need anymore. Who said it was about you? As a follower of Christ, God desires that you have more than you need so that you can be a blessing to those around you and that your generosity points to the goodness of your Father. Pastor, this is an American message. This can't work in Haiti. I don't care where you are. If you have one bowl of rice and you are faithful with that one bowl of rice and trust God, he says, I will put you in a position where you have enough rice for yourself and you can fill it other people as well. Because generosity is the heart of our Father. It says this in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Without painful toil, maybe hustling isn't biblical. Pastor, I'll be on my grind, man. I'm grinding. I know grinding's not biblical. Wait for it. God says, no. If you do it my way, I'll bring increase without the headaches, without the migraines, without the drama. I have principles that will be a blessing to your life. Now, when it comes to money and church, people just get weird. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, are you weird? Wait for an answer. They just tend to be extremists. So you'll find when it comes to money in church, most people fall in one of two extremes. One extreme is money is the only way that God blesses you. In fact, money is the definition of blessings and favor and faith. And if you don't have any money, then you don't have any faith. Somebody say the devil is a liar. The other extreme is money is evil. Money ruins people's lives. God wants us to be in a place where we constantly need, so we learn to rely on him. Actually, people who desire to build wealth are ungodly heathens, and they're not of God. Steve Harvey said, I know the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, but being poor is pretty evil too. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. By the way, the Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love, the obsession, the unhealthy focus on. It's not just the church that has extremes. The world has extremes also. Some extremes in the world are some people believe if I have money, it's because I worked harder than you. And the only reason why you don't have money is because you're not working hard enough. Matter of fact, my money is evidence of my value to society. And your lack of money is evidence of your lack of value to society. On the absolute opposite extreme, some people believe that anybody who has money is a thief. You must have cheated, lied, or stolen from somebody to get what you have, and everything that you have should be taken to give to those who are less fortunate, even if they're less fortunate through mismanagement of their own resources. Does this sound like an election we just went through? Extremes. Would it shock you if I told you that God doesn't fall into any of those camps? But there's biblical principles that he desires for us to walk in that bring increase and peace, wealth and generosity. So over the next 4 weeks of this series, what we're going to do is we're going to end that question, if I had $1 million, with a different question each week. Today, we're going to answer the question, would it change me? If someone wrote me a check for $1 million right now, would it change me? Next week, we're going to answer the question, would I waste it? Someone wrote me a check for $1 million. Would I buy this house, buy that car, and look up 6 months and I have nothing to show for it? Research shows that many people who come into wealth quickly through the lottery or something like that, 70% of them are broke, have nothing within a few years after it. The third week, we're going to ask the question, would I make a lasting impact? Would I do anything with my money that outlasts my lifetime, that actually matters in light of eternity? And then my favorite one, the last week, we're going to answer the question, well, why don't I? I encourage you, if you have people that, hey, I think they are kind of struggling in this area and I don't want to be the one to talk to them, I'll do your dirty work for you. Bring him in next week. It is going to be awesome. But today we're going to talk about the question of, would it change me? Ask yourself that question. If someone were to write you a check for $1 million right now, or whatever your number is, $100,000 or $1 billion, whatever it is, would it change who you are? In this passage with what the Bible calls, or theologians call, the prodigal son, it says that there was this man who evidently was pretty wealthy. And his youngest son came to him and said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. Now, in that time, in the Jewish tradition, the firstborn would receive 2/3 of the father's wealth, and then the rest would be divvied up amongst the rest of the children. But because there was only one other son, he was entitled to 1/3 of his father's wealth. The Bible says, as soon as he got it, he left town, and in a matter of months, wasted it all. The Bible says he partied, he went out and did prodigal living. That's biblical terms for ratchet. And he found himself with nothing. Now, a lot of people would look at this story and say, you see, there's evidence that money ruins people. You see, that's why I don't want too much, or don't. I'm just content. I'm fine where I am, because you know, if I have too much, I may be in a position where I'm ruined. You know, there's a verse in the Bible where it says, God, don't give me too little, lest I steal, or give me too much, lest I turn my back on you. Well, let's read it. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says this, fraud and lies keep far from me. Don't give me either poverty or wealth. Give me just the food I need, or I'll be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or I'll be poor and steal and dishonor my God's name. Just a thought. I asked my Bible questions. I have a question. If you hit a certain level of poverty that forces you to steal, or you hit a certain level of wealth that forces you to forget about God, could it be argued that money's not the issue in the first place? Because no matter where I am, the bottom line is I'm turning my back on God. So could it be the issue is not what I have or what I don't have, but who I am? Listen to me. It wasn't money that ruined the prodigal son. He was ruined when he was broke. You see, when he went to his father and said, Dad, give me my inheritance, he understood that you only receive your inheritance when your parent passes away. So let me translate what he said to his dad. Dad, I wish you were dead so that I can have what you have. Now, we already know that this is a good father, and he told his oldest son, everything that I have already belongs to you. So we know that this prodigal son didn't want this wealth because he was struggling to pay off his student loan and his car note was choking him out and all this other kind of stuff. And I just need, no. He had everything that he needed from his father in his father's house. But here's the problem. He was under his father's authority. The issue is he wanted the father's blessing without the Father's oversight. So many, I'm just late on time, so let me just give it to you like it is. If you're not a follower of Christ, it's not because you have an issue with the blessings of God. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants purpose and fulfillment. That's not what I have an issue with. The issue is being under His oversight. I don't want God telling me what to do with my joy. I don't want God telling me what to do with my purpose and my destiny and my life. Here's the deal. That son had a heart issue of submitting to his father. And that's why he was ruined. First thing I want you to write down is this. Wealth is a magnifier. Wealth is a magnifier. So often we think that, man, if I had, insert the blank, then I would. You ever been in a position? I know I'm not the only person who's horrible. You ever been in a position where, man, as soon as I get a raise, then I'm going to start paying off that credit card. Oh, man, I'm telling you, if I had just a little bit more, I would take. If I was wealthy, all y'all would get houses. I'm telling you, you get a house, you get a house, you get a. I mean, if I just had a little bit more, I would. I'm a little low on sleep, so I'm just going to be cranky today. Can I just be honest with you? No, you wouldn't. You would not do anything then that you are not already doing right now. Because money doesn't change you, it just magnifies who you already are. So if you're generous right now, when more wealth comes, you'll just be more generous. If you're stingy right now, when more wealth comes, you'll just be more. Because it doesn't change you, it just magnifies who you already are. So let's say you're able to provide for your family and you're doing all right. I wouldn't, by the way, you ever notice how nobody considers themselves wealthy? You ever notice that? First of all, if you're sitting in this room right now, you are wealthier than probably 90% of the planet. But wealthy for us is always the next increase. Talk to a billionaire. Well, I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not wealthy yet. Whatever. But let's just say you're in a position where you're not struggling and you're fine, you're able to provide and maybe enjoy a little bit of different things, then you're in a position where your life is ooh, y'all look weird, is magnified. Because wealth magnified. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm looking through this magnifying glass and all I see is blurry stuff because this isn't based on long distance. But if you are up close, I'd be able to see the details of your life. There's a certain level of wealth where not everybody knows what your life is like, but your children do. Because they're close enough to see. Not everybody knows that you're stingy, but your wife does. Not everybody knows that you're generous.
You just clean that up.
But your wife does. Or your husband does. Because a certain level, it magnifies. Maybe you're doing a little bit better than okay, and it increases the distance at. I think I can see a. Is that a pimple? It increases, and oh, maybe you're balling out of control. That just means I can see you from space. Wealth doesn't change you. It just magnifies who you already are. And here's what we think. We think that if I had more, I'd have more opportunities. And I'd be able to do more. And I'd be able to go further. And I'd be able to see. Come here, Pastor Damon. Come by. Quick. We think, say Pastor Damon's wealthy. In Jesus' name. We think wealth does this. Allows him to see further and clearer. But that's not what it does. Can I get that? Thank you. Don't go, where are you going? I gotta see who you are. Because I can see. Wealth doesn't change you. It just changes how much of you others can see.
Thank you. Pastor, that's why I don't want to be wealthy. Because I don't want other people to see who I am. Well, I don't know why I'm just being so mean today. Please forgive me. If you're selfish, then it makes no good for anybody to see who you are. But if your entire life looks like this, because of his grace, because of his glory, because of who he is in my life, if your entire life is a life that's pointed at God, when you're magnified, he's magnified. Pastor, yeah, I don't know. There's so much pressure that comes with money, though. You know what I mean? Rich people, they just have issues. They can't keep a marriage together. They're always getting divorced and cheating on each other and all that kind of stuff. This is what I've discovered. Broke people cheat, too. You just don't know because you can't see. It's nothing to do with money. It's who you are. It magnifies who you are. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says this, where your checkbook is, there your heart will be also. The Bible actually says I could figure out who you are just by looking at how you spend your money. Because your money follows where your heart follows where your money goes. David prayed this. This should be our prayer. Not God, give me $1 million. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Test, one translation says, test my anxious thoughts. I know you're calm now. It's Sunday. But what do you do when you're stressed? What's your mind consumed on when things don't look like they're working out? He said, test who I really am under pressure. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, God. And lead me along of a path of everlasting life. God, show me what really matters in life. And I'm telling you, if you get this right, whether you have or don't have, or when you do have, it won't ruin you. It'll simply magnify who God is in your life. The second thing is this, write this down. Wealth is a tool. A tool. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to do something but you did not have the right tool? I don't know if you're one of those people who actually write complaints to companies. I always say in my mind, I am going to write the complaint, and I never do. So I'll just preach about my complaint. If I were to write a complaint, I would write one to Walmart. Did you just call that company out? Yes, Destiny Harvest won't be endorsed by Walmart, but that's fine. I'd write a complaint to Walmart. What would the complaint say? Why do you insist on putting babies' products in military-grade packaging? You go and buy a pacifier or a bottle or whatever it may be, and they put it in this plastic wrap that you need a chainsaw, a flamethrower, and a Mack truck just to pull apart. And I'm not bright, so I let my daughter see it before I get it out of the packaging. So she's screaming, and I'm here trying to pull this. She said, Daddy, I thought you went to the gym. I'm like, shut up, I can't get this. You ever been in a situation you just don't have the right tool? You can't find scissors or a blade, so you take out a car key. You've been there before. And you're jamming that car key trying to, got your finger knuckles all cut up. And because you don't have the right tool for the job. You ever try to screw a screw in with a penny? I never knew how thick pennies were. So I figured out what screws they can't fit. What's the point? When you have the right tool for the job, it's great. But when you try to use the wrong tool for the job, you cut your knuckles up, it brings pain and frustration. Listen to me. Wealth is a tool. What are you saying? There's some things it can be used for, and there's some things that it can't be used for. And if you try to use the tool of wealth for things that it can't be used for, you will only cause yourself pain. In my mind, and you can argue with me after service, and I'll love to have that argument, there's only four things that you can use money for. You can either save it, plan for the future. You can spend it, take care of your needs and your wants. You can give it, take care of others' needs and others' wants, or you can return it, give God the 10% that belongs to him anyway. There's only four things you can do. Save, spend, give, return. No, that's not true, Pastor. You can manipulate people with money. You can, that would go all under the category of saving. You can't do it if you don't have it. What can you not do with money? You can't buy joy. I'd be a lot happier if I had that car. I know. But you can't buy joy. You can't buy safety. I'd just sleep a whole lot better if I had a whole lot more in the bank. You'd sleep, but you'd still be unaware that you're still not safe. I would feel so much more valuable, so much more significant. People wouldn't be able to look down on me if I just had a little bit more. First of all, people will always look down on you. They will find some reason not to accept you. Second of all, your net worth does not dictate your value. Your value is dictated on what someone's willing to spend on you. And God the Father spent all that he ever had in his son, Jesus Christ, to purchase you. And another zero in your bank account will not make you any more valuable. Here's the thing. Money's not evil, but we get evil results when we try to use it for things it was never meant to be used for. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other. Let's just kind of back up. You're going to have a master. Did you catch it? The Bible only gave you two options. There's no option three, free. It's not in there. Two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. Great verse, but the verse isn't over. You cannot serve God and wealth. What is God trying to tell us? Not that money's evil, but money is an evil God. Wow. Money's a tool. It's not a source of strength. It's not a source of joy. It's not a source of significance and destiny and purpose here on earth. And the problem with money is money writes checks that only God can cash. Money makes promises that only God can fulfill. And God says, if you can just get it right in your mind that money is a tool that I'll bless you with, but don't make it your obsession, don't make it your consumption. And as long as it's in the rightful place in your life, it'll be a blessing. It's when it creeps up into the place that only belongs to me that it'll ruin you. Last thing is this, write this down. Don't wait for more. I really, really hope somebody writes you a check for $1 million. I really, really don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, don't forget to return what belongs to God. Just saying. Pastor, if I won the lottery, would you take time money? Look, let's not talk about that right now. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough for that question. We'll talk about it later. I really hope that you get some type of crazy increase. But let's just say it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen tomorrow. Don't wait. Don't wait for somebody else to do for you what God's empowered you to do for yourself. I'm not waiting for some, you know, person or some benefactor to write me a check for $1 million. I'm waiting on the blessings of God. I don't know why. Forgive me. I'm not always this cranky. Next week, I'll be like Barney. I'll be the happiest pastor, but today is just not that day. Can I break it down for you? Yeah. I can tell you whether God's going to bless you or not. You could figure out if he's going to bless you or not. How? Do you have a life that he would want to magnify? Because that's the only reason why God blesses people, to point people to himself. So if you have a life that God would want everybody to see, then get ready, he's going to bless you. But if you don't have a life that he doesn't want everybody to see, thank you. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Let's not wait for a windfall to be the people that God's called us to be. Let's not wait for more to be a good steward of what we have today. Let's not wait for more to be as generous as he's called us to be today. You may not be able to do it to the scale that you would like to do it, but the Bible says that if you're faithful with little, if you're faithful with today, he'll bless you with tomorrow. Don't worry about what's coming. Just be faithful with where you are. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4 says this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get started on paying off that debt. He said, you'll never do anything if you wait for the perfect day. You asked me last week, I'd have told you today it'd be 72 degrees, sunny and beautiful. I forgot I live in Maryland. So it's 42 degrees, cold and miserable. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. The son comes to his father and he says, give me my inheritance. According to Jewish tradition, he didn't just give the younger son his inheritance, but he gave the older son his inheritance at the same time. So off of one request, that father was bankrupt. Doesn't that change the whole story? When that son came home and his father threw his arms around him, that father had nothing because of his son's heart, and he still welcomed him. That fattened calf, and you could read on in the story that he threw a party for his youngest son, he probably borrowed it from his older son because he had nothing. But he was still so in love with his son, in spite of his waste, he still wanted him back. Stephen's sin bankrupted heaven, but yet my father still wants me back. I don't care what your story is, what mistakes you've made, what opportunities you've wasted, you have a heavenly father that every morning is saying, is today they come home? Is today the day that they come back? Is today the day that I get to throw my arms around them? Say, I've been waiting for you.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.